So it's a new series, right? For tzaddikim on the parsha, we'll take a tzaddik. Tonight's the night. Tonight's your is the yahrzeit of the Kedushas Levi, Reb Levi Yitzchak and Sarah Sasha of Berditchev. So we'll talk about why it's so appropriate to have that. But the plan is to depending on the yahrzeits that fall out each week. We'll talk a little about them because people hear these names. They don't know the personalities. They don't know the time frames that they lived in. You know, we're talking in the halacha, the Hilcha Shabbos, there's different pages. There's a Mishnah, there's a Mishnah Torah, and there's a Mishnah Berurah, right? They are contemporaries. But try to, you know, talk about it. So, who was the Kedushas Levi? When did he live? And why is it very kedai to learn it? So it wasn't planned when I had the idea in my mind, but I didn't realize, obviously, with what the Eretz Yisrael is happening right now, that Eis Tzor LeYaakov. So I thought it'd be worthwhile to begin with a story. We have a Kabbalah that any time a Jew is finds himself Be'eis Tzara in a time of trouble, that they should say the name Levi Yitzchak ben Sar Sasha. And that itself is Paul Yeshua. See, that Berditchev, that we have different Masorahs. So where does that come from, this idea about mentioning this particular name of the Tzaddik? So the story is brought down. We'll give a little background. There's obviously different groups of Hasidim, and there was the Rishner, whose whole way of serving Hashem was externally with a Malchus. But behind that, for example, he had these special golden boots they would wear. But the golden boots didn't have a sole. They only found that out like when his foot got stuck to the ice one night by Kiddush Lavana. So externally, it was Malchus Yisrael. So one of his sons was a very big tzaddik, Reb David Moshe of Chortkever. The Chortkever Rebbe was a very big tzaddik. Reb Meir Shapiro was a Chortkever chassid. I just give you a little idea. Reb Meir Shapiro founded Daf Yomi, who founded a Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. So his Rebbe was the Chortkever. So the minhag was by the Chortkever Rebbe that he only would give tish once on Shabbos, depending on what time of the year it was really. So then he would make one big suit with all the chassidim. The other was a private thing, just with the family. So for example, if when you have in the winter time, when there was a long Friday night, so then he would make the tish Friday night, and then by the family by the daytime would just be the private suit. And then in the summertime they would v'nahapachu. In the summertime, so then like it would be the daytime tish would be like the main one with all the chassidim. And Friday night would be just a private affair with the family. So, for one particular Shabbos, I'm not sure why it was in the wintertime, and he sent out, you know, they didn't have WhatsApp, but they sent out a message somehow. I don't know how people communicate for WhatsApp, but they sent out a message that the Rebbe is not going to give fear tish. It was a wintertime, so the local Hasidim got that. But there was a Yid, his name was Yosef Sonneker. Is his name, and he lived away, but he had a tremendous cheshik to go spend Shabbos with the Rebbe, and it was a whole day, you know, it was a long trip to get there. He shows up on Erev Shabbos. He said, "You didn't hear? You didn't get the text? The Rebbe's not there. Give him tish." He said, "I don't want to go in." So, you know, what do you do when you can't get in? So you have to grease the wheels a little bit. You have to bribe the guard, bribe the gabayim a little bit. Couldn't get in. So. Apparently, he bribed one guard and he let him like in the house. He went to mikveh earlier and like hours before Shabbos again, he went and he hid like I don't know behind the curtains or under the table, whatever it was. He was hiding in the Chorkover's house and he was there. I guess maybe he davened under the table or whatever it is, but that's where he was. He was in the room for this and when it came time for Kiddush Friday night, so the tzaddik Reb David Moshe Chorkover was picking up the becher and putting it back down. It up, but it repeated itself several times. Like an unusual, this doesn't happen every Shabbos. And he said to the B'nai Bayis, to the people who were there, so you should know, whenever Yid finds himself Be'eis Tzara, he should say the name Reb Levi Yitzchak Ben Sara Sasha, and that'll be Paul Yeshuos. And then he went ahead like and made Kiddush. So this Yid, Yosef Sonneker, who's like, you know, hiding out, hears this and says that I'm here for a reason. Must be that I hear that. So he took this, what he heard from the Chortkever, and he passed it down through his kids and his grandkids, and the family had a Mesorah. Then if you ever find yourself at Eistar, you should say the name Reb Levi Yitzchak of Reb Levi Ben Sar Sasha, Helfmir. That was it, Helfmir. Hashem, save me, help me, in the Zechus of the Tzaddik. So they passed it down. So this Yid, Reb Yonah Sonneker, had a grandson who was in... Krasna, and the Germans were there, And the way it was that they were sadistic, and they had you dig your own grave. And he remembered this, and he's a bacher, and he's just screaming, "Levi Zigman started, help me!" And like the Germans were like amused, like, "What are you doing?" He says, "What do you want? Why are you screaming? I want to go home." So they're very sadistic. He said, "Oh, sure, you can go home." Said, "Why?" They gave permission. You can go. And obviously, the plan was as soon as he started climbing out of the ditch and running away, they were gonna shoot him. So he got reshus. And he just kept on saying this over and over again. But maybe it's like when Sar Sar, he kept saying it over and over again. And like he says, the way it's brought down, like he turned around, like look, and he saw it was like, you know, 4, 5, 6, whatever. And they had their guns. They were shooting, and the bullets kept missing him. And he just kept on running and running and running. He told him, sorry, he survived. He survived this Boyan Chassid in Borough Park. And so I was thinking about this story. If there's anybody in the Yortzeit, we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the zechus of your tzaddik, this great advocate for Klal Yisrael, for Blei Yitzchak, and so on. Help me here. Help us get through this very difficult time period. So a little information about him. Blei Yitzchak was born in 1740, and he passed away tonight, the Yortzeit, Chafei Tishrei, in 1809. So what's that? It's like 69 years. But by the Bris, I hinted at this when I was giving the preview. What's it called? The trailer for the Shira. I said, guys, I'll tell the story about the Bris. So there, at his Bris, the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid of Mezrich came. They showed up as just disguised, incognito. And Reb Levi Yitzchak, his father recognized that these were big tzaddikim, and he said, "Please stay. I'm making a bris." And they back and forth, and he said, "I'll be mechabed you with being the tzaddik." And he said, "I already asked somebody else." He said, "No, I'll get rid of him." Like this, he wanted to be there. So that was it. That was the only time that the Baal Shem Tov met Rav Levi Yitzchak was by the bris. And then he had it later when he passed away in 1760. The Baal Shem Tov passed away. But the Levi Yitzchak went to learn by the Maggid of Mezrich. But that was the time when they first met. These stories are all written up. So he was an Eloi. People didn't realize he was so strong in his ways that I think he was married by the age of 15. If I'm going to get the details straight, in those days, you know, if you had an Eloi, you either got married into a rabbinic family or into a wealthy family. So he married into a very wealthy family, and he was promised 15 years, he could just sit and learn. And that's what he did. He just sat and learned. People didn't realize who he was and his closeness. Later on, he got into trouble because he took a shteller and he used to leave to go to the Maggid of Mezrich, like expecting the rabbi to be there for Rosh Hashanah. You know, he's off by the Maggid. But so after 15 years, the Maisa is that, so okay, the deal's a deal. I supported you for that. Now you got to go work. So the fair back then, it was called Yerid. The big fair was in Leipzig. And his father-in-law said, "I'm going to give you 10,000 ruble," which was a huge amount of money back then. And I'm going to give you two of my good advisors. They're going to, because he knew Gemara Rashi Tosis. He didn't know how to have business dealings. They're going to take you to the fair, and they're going to help negotiate. They'll show you what to buy, and then they're going to get a little commission on it. That's going to be there. It's okay. So they set off from, where I have the name of it here, Levertov. His father-in-law was Rabbi Yisrael Peres of Levertov. And so they set out, and they went to the inn, and Rabbi Yitzchak went to the Beis Medrash to go learn. He just would sit alone. He had koch. He was able to sleep very, very little. And then, so the next day they said, "Look, you know, they're ready to go to the fair, and these two businessmen go, and he's not there." So they finally, they discover he was in the Beis Medrash just learning this. "What are you doing? We came to the fair." He goes, "All right, then tomorrow we'll go. Tomorrow we'll go." So okay, so he stayed in Beis Medrash, and they went back, and then, the way the story is brought down, that night when Rav Levi Yitzchak was leaving the Beis Medrash, he got totally lost on his way back to the inn where they were staying, and he saw a particular building that was all lit up. So he said, oh, that must be it. So he went into this big building, was all lit up, and it was anything but an inn. It was a bezonos. It was a brothel. And he realized, and he got, like, I didn't saw what this, you know, what they were all about over there. And they cornered him. They tried to do something. And he had the 10,000 rubles with him in the wallet. And he everything he had. He threw it. He says, take it. Get out. And they let him alone. He went away. So now he got out. He found his way back to the inn where he was supposed to go. The next morning, the businessman already, okay, it's time to go to the fair. He says, hand over the money. What? Where is I lost. I don't know. It's gone. I don't have. They're furious. One of them. I think they say one of them fainted. The other one furious. They look. You're gonna tell your father-in-law it's between you and him. But like, you wasted our time. We were supposed to make money on this. So they went back, and his father-in-law was so furious with me. He never explained. He never told him what happened. He just said, "It's gone. I lost it. I don't have it." So he basically disowned him. So he and his wife, and he was married already with, you know, kids. And they were there on like the outskirts of town. And the people in again, well, the name of it, Levertov was the name of the city. And they were like, they supported him. They realized that he was a big tzaddik and a big Oyved Hashem, and they like would help him. Later on, he took Rabbanus in Pinsk, which was a very big thing. And then later on, for the last, I think, 25 years of his life, he was the Rav in Berditchev. That's what we call him, Rabbi Yitzchak of Berditchev. So I have to finish off the mice. So what happened with the father-in-law? So in those days, the father-in-law, don't worry, there's Torah here also, but you know, my son had a Rebbe, like, you know, he says, we're behind in the Gemara, but we're more behind on the Sipuri Tzadikim, so I got to figure out which to make up on. So the story continues, and in those days, there was a lot of anti-Semitism, you know, not any different than nowadays. But they had a plot against his father-in-law. He was very wealthy. They made up some fake trumped up charges against him, and he was put into jail. And he had to bribe his way to post bail, whatever it was, and they had a court date set for him. And he realized this was a serious thing. It wasn't like, you know, nowadays where it wasn't like a real thing. They could kill you, they could spend the rest of your life in jail. This is really sakonos nefoshos. So the father-in-law goes to the Rebbe Melech Lezhensk, and he says, please daven for me. You know, I had this whole maisa happening, all these lies and things, but it's a serious issue. He says, me, Davi, your son-in-law, Levi Yitzchak, he'll daven for you. And he couldn't really tell him like what he did, how he disowned him, and he, you know, he's not supporting him anymore. Like he's his own daughter, he kicked out of the house, right? He's so upset with him. So he couldn't really, so he left. And he went back another time, and he says, you know, what can I do? You know, the Magid of Ezrich. I'm sorry, not the Magid. The Rebbe the Melech said, you have your son-in-law. He'll daven for you. I can't do anything. And so he's the one who's going to heal. So he realized he had to find something, how to like, you know, make good with Rebbe Levi Yitzchak. So he made a seuda, and he invited like everybody, and then he invited his son-in-law also. So at the seuda, he's going around making l'chaim, and then to his son-in-law he says. Chatosi, I was so wrong what I did to you. Please be moichel me. He said, of course, I'm moichel you. It's okay. So his son-in-law is moichel him, and he says, by the way, I have this Indian I'm dealing with now. That you know, their thing. So the Berditchever davened, and the way the story was, that courthouse where all the records were kept, there was a sreifa, there was a fire, the whole thing burned down, and the whole thing was forgotten. And I'm talking the quick version of it, but that was it. That was it. That there was the whole thing was in. So then, after this whole thing is done, and now there's no more you know, death sentence against the father-in-law, so him and the Kedushas Levi, they go together to the Rebbe Melech, and they give each other a big warm shalom aleichem. They're very close, and as they're there, the Rebbe Melech says, "Wait 1 second," and he goes and pulls out a drawer, and he has the wallet with the 10,000 ruble. He goes, here it is. And he never told his father-in-law what happened. He just said, I lost it. He never told him the whole thing. So I said, what? My high, what's going on over here? So the Rebbe Melech says, there's a woman who came in here with this bag of money, with the wallet, with the 10,000. Who is this woman? She was the owner of that. She was the head, the CEO of the Zonas. She was the head. And she said, I don't know what happened, but this Jew came in, must have been a holy person, and he came in one, and we cornered him, and he dropped his money here. But ever since that happened, business has gone down. anytime a man walks into the zona, he faints. He looks at he panics. Right? No other. This was a whole thing. We tried to couldn't touch the wallet. Like it was a whole thing. And then so finally they worked out a way to like to she apologized. She said, we're going to return it, but I don't know how to get it back. He says, I know you're a famous rabbi. They tell me it's by you, the Rebbe Melech. So you'll probably know who this other rabbi is. So I'm giving you the money. So he took the money back, the $10,000, and that was the mice. Okay, Toast, let's learn a little bit. This is a piece from Parsha, right? Parsha's Bereishis. So you have the translation. It's close to accurate, but I'm gonna translate it as we go because it's close to accurate. It's not 100% accurate, the translation. Okay, Rabbi Seinu Zichron Levracha Omer B'Medrash Bereishis Rabba Gimel. Al pasuk in this week's parsha, Vayikra Elokim Laor Yom, Hashem called the light day. So what does that mean? Hashem called the light day. Elu maasehim shel tzadikim. That's the actions of tzadikim. L'choshech kor alayla, into the darkness, Hashem called that light. What's that referring to? Says the Medrash. Elu maasehim shel rishoyim. So light or is the actions of tzadikim, and choshech darkness is the actions of rishoyim. And the Medrash says, Be'ez mem chofetz yoser. I have a suffix. I'm not sure which Hashem has a chafetz, has a desire for more. Which is God like more? The actions of the tzaddikim or the actions of the Rishoyim? So Talmud Lomer, to answer this, to Paskin, to tell me who it is, it says, Vayar Elokim Esa'or Kitov. Hashem saw the light, which is we learn now is the actions of tzaddikim. That's good. That's what Hashem wanted. That's the Medrash. So it says the Kedushas Levi, Lechore Yipole. This is a Pella. This is a wonder. What's going on over here? The Maimisafkalahu. What was the suffix of the thing? Hashem, who do you love more? Who do you love more? You love the Tzadikim or the Rishoyim? Hamas or the IDF? Who do you love more? We have a suffix. We don't know. Be'ezmin Chafet Yoser. The matters we don't know. So therefore, V'yabashum Lev, Al Divrei Kadshum. But no, one second. It can't be what the Medrash is really talking about. Says the Kedushas Levi, look closely at the words that are used. Shelo Amr, the Medrash didn't say, or that the light, Eilat Tzadikim, V'choshu Eilat Rishoyim. Not the way I said it, the Tzadikim and Rishoyim. What did the word actually say? Elisha Amr, Eilu Ma'asehim. The actions of the Tzadikim and the actions of the Rishoyim. Right, we don't know which one Hashem loves more. Does he love the actions of, not Tzadikim versus Rishoyim, but the actions of Tzadikim or the actions of Rishoyim? Demavur b'Rabbeinu Yonah, so he quotes, again, he had such a bekias. The Kedushas Levi quotes now, Rabbeinu Yonah, al Mishnah de Perek Tes, Mishnah Hey. I think it's Nun Dalam and Beis in the Gemara. De Brachos, it says, you should love Hashem b'chol levavcha. We say this, we just said this in Shema, right, a few minutes ago. De Mishnei Yitzircha. You have to love Hashem with both of your drives, both your inclinations, v'yetzer tov v'yetzer hara, with your drive towards good and your drive towards the opposite of good. Dehech adam oyver v'yetzer hara. So how does a person actually serve Hashem with their yetzer hara? Hukach demidas yetzer tov hu lehov shalom, lerodev shalom, lekarev es yisra betuv v'ne'imus lavoros yisborach. So yetzer tov is loving and peace, and pursuing peace. We spoke about, we did something new this year. We spoke before, a little bit before each one of the Hashanahs, right? So when we spoke about Aaron was the Midah of Hod, the fifth Hakafah, we spoke about Ohev Shalom, Verodev Shalom. So the Tosha Rebbe said that Ohev Shalom, Rodev Shalom doesn't mean that I only have peace with people who are like me. Even people who are rodef me, even people who are out to get me, even people exact opposite of me, as the Medrash says that, it's Rashi actually, Rashi in the word Shemayim says it's Eish Umayim, right? Two opposites. So to real shalom is not when I get along with the person who's just like me, who thinks the same way, who acts the same way, who believes the same things than I do. Real shalom is when I'm mevata myself to the person who's against me, right? When the Democrats and the Republicans get together, that's shalom. The Democrats are themselves and the Republicans, but that's not shalom. When the Yankees and the Mets, you know, when you and your arch enemy get together, that's what real peace is. When it's someone who's against you, when the teva, my teva is Eish, and this person's teva is Mayim, the opposite, when those two people get together, that's what makes the Shalom. So that's what Aaron was. He was able even to go pen people who had. So this is the pleasant way. This is Tov. This is serving Kodesh Baruch Hu with the Yetzer Tov of loving peace. Who doesn't love peace? Everyone loves peace. Everybody wants peace. But he says, Umidas Yetzer Hara. So how do you serve Hashem with this midah of the Yetzahara, which is what the Gemara said? This is according to this Rabbeinu Yonos Pshat. Kas, when you use anger, v'sina, and use hatred. Harashapo v'sina zu, v'kas lasso is neged ratzon koinu, lisno l'chois as al oivdei Hashem. So the Rishayim use these midos of anger and of hatred, those who are serving Hashem. Omnom, however, had tzadik b'midas Yetzahara gufa oivdes Hashem. The tzaddik takes the same thing that the Rasha used, that power, that anger and that hatred. He uses the anger and the hatred to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He uses those things, that anger. We're all angry about what's going on right now. The hatred, we see it, but to take that and to use that anger and that hatred to serve Hashem through that anger and that hatred, that's what he's saying. So that's the end of the Rabbeinu Yonah. Lefize, now according, based upon this Rabbeinu Yonah now, the Kedush Levi says we can understand what was the Medrash talking about. Lefize Yavur, Vayikra Lekim Lo'or Yom, Elu Ma'asehim Shel Tzadikim. These are the actions of Tzadikim. He's going to say that the Tzadikim and the Rishayim, you get to the same level. You can have the same goal, but what was your motivating factor? How did you get to that end goal? Did you get that through the action, the maaseh of tzaddikim, through focusing on love, through focusing on peace and shalom? Or did you get to that same result by focusing on the hatred, on the sinna, and on the kas? Shemidosam rak tov lekari ves yisrael b'tochochos musar, to bring Jews closer with musar, the imre noam, speaking pleasantly to them. Miskablim al halev sheyazov rosha darko. I mean, we quoted in the summer. We were learning from the Pirkei Avos from the Nesiva Shalom. So he quoted there. The pasuk says, "Musar Shem bni altimas." Right? Don't forsake don't despise the musar of Hashem. So in Slonim they put a comma. You remember this? They put a comma. How do you punctuate that pasuk? Musar Hashem, the musar that Hashem gives to every single yid, says, "Bini, you're my child. I love you because you're my kid, and I care so much about you. And I'm crazy about you. I love you more than you could ever imagine. You're my ben yochid, born to me in an old age. You're the only thing I have. You, the yid." Musar, and she says, "Bini, you're my kid. Therefore, because you're Hashem's child, al timas, don't make yourself disgusting. You're above this, right?" I think they bring from one of the books from Rabbi Dr. Abraham Tursky. That's how he was always told in his house. He said, right in his instructions, he says, "I was always told this is beneath you. Never, you know, why are you doing this? You're above this. Always elevating. You're giving musar. You're telling him, don't do this, but you're elevating that." So that's the maaseh shel tzadikim, to bring Jews closer using the ahava, using the rodev shalom, ohev shalom v'rodev shalom. You know, Rashi quotes that everybody was mourning for Aaron because he was the big peace man. L'choshech kar laila, but for the darkness which we call laila, elu maaseh shel rishoyim. Pirush, what does that mean? Lo sherish shem gufam shebehem elam chayfetz rag masem shalehem rosh masem kas. The way they act is anger v'sin v'hem polim rab azeh shehashem yisborach ra osam. Hashem sees this ki masem elu yechom laavod Hashem yisborach l'shaver tos amo ubal korcha harash l'shuv maso behem nekama sheashpilam. I'll offer, give musar. You try to bring Jews closer by talking about how Hashem's going to punish you if you don't. Va'az mischaratim, then they're going to have a charat, they're going to have a sisregred, va'omrim, elchav v'sho. Okay, now I'm going to go do tshuva. So how did you get, you got both, at the end of the day, you still got this person to be chozer b'tshuva. You got the Nesiva Shalom way of saying how elevated you are, and you got the Rishayim, the choshek way of telling a person, you're going to burn in hell if you don't put on tefillin. I'm just telling you, I'm just calling the Gemara for you, calling Aaron, says you're going to go to hell. Now, if that was Lubavitcher's, you know, could you imagine them in Manhattan? So, are you Jewish? Yes. Would you like to put on tefillin today? No. Well, you're going to go to hell. Okay, fine. No, what do? They tell you how much. I remember going out with them. And like, we got a pep talk before we went out to. I went to Greenwich Village to like to try to put tefillin on. So this deep down, the Jew wants to do it. Just remind him how much he wants to do it. Right, that was the pep talk we got. But that's what it is. That's what it is. So watch this. Kevin de b'shnei hamidos shel tzadikim v'shel rishonim yecholim lavor es Hashem yisborach. You can get the end result. You can get people to do teshuva. You can get Jews to come closer through either one of these. With a shaper kolmer be'ezem mehem chafetz Yosef, which was Hashem want? This is the way the Berditchever, the Kedusha slave, is learning up the Medrash. Which is Hashem? How does Hashem want us to act with other people? The Kedusha slave was the biggest advocate. Maybe that's why Rabbanu Shalom, right, helped me, because he was such an Ohev Yisrael. We know the famous stories, right? That the Jews smoking on Yom Kippur. You heard the story? The Jews smoking a cigarette on Yom Kippur. The Kedusha slave says to him, "You know, today's Yom Kippur." He says, "Yes." And he says, "And you know, you're not allowed to smoke." He says, "Yes." He says, "Rebona Sholom." He knows it's Yom Kippur. He knows you're not smoking. He still can't tell a lie. Right? He always found the good in it. He saw Jews, you know, greasing the wheels of his wagon, wearing talis and tefillin. That'd be like nowadays, you know, like filling up your car with gas, right? Wearing your talis and tefillin. He says, "Look, Rebona, look what special people you have. Even while they're greasing the wheels of their wagon, they're still wearing talis and tefillin." Like, he always saw the positive. This silver, he was such an Ohev Yisrael, and that's what he's teaching. This is not the first piece in the Sefer, but this is the first parsha that he has. So he's telling us what should our mahalach be? You know, we start Brachos, a brand new cycle, and we think about how do we want to interact with those. Everyone wants to come closer. Right now, there's a tremendous upsurge. We know it's like all the chats and the WhatsApps and the emails and the social media. How can I do? What can I do to help? Right? There's so many opportunities, and people just giving and giving and giving right now, and people want to come closer. The way you bring Jews closer is through love. The achdus that we've seen through these days has been so inspiring. The omru afal pichin chafet yosef masehim shel tzadikim sheakrivu kol ha'olam kula avoides habore al yidei divrei noam. When you speak sweetly to people, pleasantly to people, that wants them to do it. The yoshuv leibam lavodaso v'lo al yidei kas, not by getting angry at people. You know, in general, you know, throwing rocks at people. No one becomes from because they got a rock thrown at them. They become from because someone gave them a good piece of potato kugel. Right? That's what. Omer vayar lokim es haor kitov elam asim shel tzadikim. This is how Hashem wants us to act in ways of tzadikim. Lisnag betov, to have a hanhaga, a way of acting with goodness. Vomer kosov hatam kitov ki darchel umidoso shel Hashem yisborach hu tov, because that's what Hashem is. And he's going to bring everyone close to him through this goodness. So that's going to bring kivur hakosav. It's ways are ways of sweetness, pleasantness. You know, there's a gemara in the third parak of sukkah. We just finished sukkah. So the gemara has a hav minis to one of the trying to get the identity of the dalad minim. It could be a thorny thing. Can't be because thorns hurt your hands. The Torah would never command you to do something that wouldn't be pleasant, wouldn't be sweet, wouldn't be pleasant, and that's the way that we have to give over to that. The best thing we can do for our kids and for our talmidim is to show them the sweetness. That's the only way it's going to last. When you try to force it in anger, again, it doesn't mean you can't ever get angry. It doesn't mean that there's a place for kas, there's a place for sinna. It's true, but that can't be the major. The major approach. It certainly doesn't work with the kids nowadays, and no one likes that. Even adults, everyone likes to feel the warmth and a kindness and a chesed, and that's the avoda of our generation. The Gemara says in Pesachim, soon we're embracious, but soon next week a star will be born on the horizon called Avram Avinu, right? That we're going to meet Avram next week. Avram is whole inyan chesed v'chachoisim. With you, we're going to end off the galus is going to end with, when we act in the meat of Avram, the meat of chesed. So in the zechus of learning the Torah of the tzaddik, so we say Ribbono Shlom, in the zechus of Reb Levi Yitzchak ben Sarah Sasha, right? Help us get through this very difficult. We're going to get through it. We've gone, but this is dark times right now. This is very hard times, and we got to be mechazik ourselves and others around us. But shkoyach to for coming and for learning. And Mr. Shem, each week we'll take a particular tzaddik. We'll talk about the life stories, and then we'll learn a piece of Torah from them. Okay, shkoyach everyone.